You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Yeah, commuting sucks, but these guys don't.
When you work at a certain alumni box, and it is, people start to notice that the spring rolls are all gone.
Those things can disappear.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, I can't do this all afternoon. I can't play this song, and we can't have
the same
bit. I
want it all afternoon.
It is a mail-it-in Thursday, though, is it not? Oh, we're off at 6:30.
Yeah, that's true, because the Leaf game's at 7, and we have it for you on TSN 1050 tonight.
So we're out here at 6:30. I want to play this for 2.5 hours.
Just go through scenarios?
Awful things.
There were so many great tweets coming in and text messages coming in.
The spring roll special.
I refuse to bring up spring rolls anymore.
No, we're not talking about spring rolls anymore.
But because it's too funny, but it's also too much of an inside joke that the audience, it's not fair to people driving around.
Yeah, my brother called me today and goes, okay, what's the inside story? Because everyone listening is laughing along because we're laughing, but you need to know, like, a little bit of backstory. We can't talk about the backstory because it's just made up.
No, exactly. You can't get into it. So I guess it is a different audience. We were doing this in the 6 p.m. hour. If you're in the car at 4, the reason we're playing this is we've been playing the Halloween theme song because the new movie comes out tomorrow.
It is.
And Noodles, you're going to go see it by yourself tomorrow afternoon.
Yes, I'll be the creep in the theater by myself, but I'll be terrified. I have to be honest.
You're always terrified when you watch this movie.
I would go with you, bud, but I would be embarrassed.
Right, to be at a movie.
Because I would yell, I would jump, I would lose my you-know-what.
So, you came up with the idea that this song just triggers fear. Immediately you're fearful. And we started using this and applying it to the sports world.
Yeah.
And Leafs Pens tonight. I would think Freddie Anderson, Matt Murray's going, they are probably going to hear this music a few times
tonight. Matt Murray will be listening to this music. He'll hear this music. Like, it's his first game coming back off of concussion. He was healthy to go last game, but they allowed DeSmith to play. And it was almost a little bit of a backhanded shot from Sullivan saying, like, because Murray wasn't good to start the season, then he got injured. So saying, yeah, it's all right for him to sit and watch these and be healthy. And in reading Matt Murray's comments, through a smile, he kind of was like, yeah, well, it's the coach's prerogative to not play me. I'll be ready when I play. Well, you're going against a team that's very potent. And, you know, on home ice, like it'll be a battle for them.
Yeah, it'll be a fun game tonight. It's going to be a great evening in general. This is a rare opportunity for sports fans because the NHL's going, the NBA's going, baseball's going, and the NFL going tonight.
What a night.
What an evening. Brace yourself because this is the truth will be unveiled here. If you had any doubts, the Thursday nighter is, quite frankly, just an abysmal game. It's Arizona-Denver. Two of the worst teams in the league. There's nothing appealing about it. You've got...
I don't even think if you're a fan of the NFL, you would track it, like, just to watch it.
I guarantee you they have the highest ratings tonight.
Really?
Oh, what? In the States? Absolutely.
Oh, you mean as far as the four leagues?
Yes. They'll do 12, 13 million tonight. Now, really? Red Sox, Astros, Verlander, David Price on the mound for Boston, and the opportunity for them to wrap up the series and head off to the World Series, I would think that'll do big numbers. LeBron making his debut tonight.
Right.
Lakers are in Portland. Sidney Crosby is playing tonight. Now, the NHL is clearly fourth, but you got LeBron, you got Sid, you've got ALCS, potentially a closing game, and you've got the NFL. And even though the NFL is just, again, it's a terrible game.
Yeah.
I'll bet you in the States, they do the highest rating.
You think so?
Eh? Yes. It's just the magnitude of the NFL, the popularity of the NFL. LeBron making his debut tonight. Game 5 of the ALCS, and Arizona-Denver will crush everybody else.
I don't think you're right. I think the baseball game and LeBron
will
dominate.
For a second there, you were going to go Arizona-Chicago playing tonight. Corey Crawford coming back. They're going to be massive numbers. And I was like, That's a bit rich of a comment.
That would be pushing it. I'm looking forward to seeing Corey Crawford. Good for him, but it's pretty far down the priority list.
Well, I kind of zoned out for a second, and then you're like, Arizona. They're playing Chicago tonight. Corey Crawford has circled that date, but that's probably going to be just a more local viewing.
I would think that'll be a regional.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, I might check it out too on the package tonight. We'll see. The Oilers are making their home debut tonight. Their home opener tonight.
Month and a half into the season.
It's almost January, but they're finally home.
Finally. Well, they're getting an angry Boston team who got rinsed last night.
Yeah, Calgary played well last night. I saw a little bit of that game.
Yeah, I watched it.
But it's going to be a fun night. The Raptors with a big win last night, and played out the way we expected it to play out. The Cavaliers are not much of a test, and they kind of made it interesting at times. Kawhi was a bit rusty, but still put up a double-double. Kyle Lowry playing with the same. He looked like the same Kyle we've seen for 7 or 8 years, DeMar or otherwise. It doesn't matter.
Effort from Kawhi, wouldn't you say?
Kind of seemed all business.
Like, it's just he's almost just good at everything. He doesn't go out there. You don't really see flash and dash. He's just good at everything. And there's no goofing around after the game, him interrupting Kyle Lowry's presser. It's just all business.
Yeah, that will not be happening. Yeah,
he's going to show up.
He's like, I'm here to win games for the Raptors. Okay.
He's a good player, but
I love it.
In reading your tweet, I thought that was smart to say, because there was some rust on his game from, by all accounts. I didn't watch start to finish, but he's a good player. You can tell he's legit. Good. And DeMar, in defense, DeMar had a good night,
too. DeMar put up numbers, and the Spurs won. DeMar's going to do business out West.
Yeah.
The Spurs are going to win games. I expect them to be a playoff team. DeMar's a really good player.
Yeah.
DeMar last night would have put up big numbers against that Cleveland team as well, but it's a new era.
Different feel, too.
A very different feel to it. And Kawhi was getting a ton of love last night, as you would expect. And eventually, even though we don't know where he's going to end up as of next summer, we will become familiar with the idea that Kawhi is a Raptor. We will find some comfort in that. And once you get down there and you watch him a few times, it's just going to become, normal. Kawhi is a Raptor. There's still some kind of new,
weird look to
fresh
it.
Car smell to it, right? Yeah, it's like, wow, this is a totally new thing, and this is cool to see him. But in 2 months, when they're wrapping up game 25 on the season, we're not still going to be talking about, hey, did you see Kawhi and the fans cheering him loudly? And eventually
it'll be business as usual.
Become routine.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a big start for the Raptors, and they got Boston in town tomorrow. I have some audio we'll get to later in the afternoon. This is a big game. These are the two best teams in the East, in my opinion. Both coaches, Brad Stevens in Boston, Nick Nurse in Toronto, going out of their way to pump the tires of the other team. It's as if neither of them want the label of being the definitive team in the East. They're going out of their way to be no, that team is absolutely the greatest.
I don't really think you're affecting the player's psyche if you say, I think we're the best team. These guys don't care what you say. The Raptors players wouldn't be our coach said we're the best team in the East.
Yeah, it is strange.
Get serious.
How uncomfortable certain coaches are.
And it's so, they can see through it when you're so obvious with it, saying, these guys are by far the best. You're in the locker room saying, okay, we get it. You're trying to make them the favorite, us the underdog. It's not believable.
No.
It's not.
It's not exactly. This isn't some Disney movie where the Raptors tomorrow night are going to be District 5.
Yeah, it's not Alaska, the movie where these guys play the Rangers out on a pond.
It's game two. You're both very good teams. You both won a bunch of games last year.
Why can't that be the comment? We're both good teams. Let's see where it ends up.
Yeah.
Well, we expect to see these guys somewhere in the playoffs. End of story.
But they don't want bulletin board material. That's that old, if Nick Nurse came out and was like, "Yeah, we're the best team in the division," what do you think that's we're talking about?
I hear you, but this is reverse bulletin.
This is
crushing the self-esteem of your own team. But where you're these guys are so much better than you. You suck compared to them.
But what it is it's disingenuous.
It is.
He's talking out the side of his mouth, and the players can see through it. Everyone can see through it. They're like, "Oh, this guy's putting on a show because he doesn't want to be the headline." Nurse chimes in.
Yeah.
How many times do we get on people about being overconfident, and it comes back to bite them in the ass. Richard Sherman yelling into the microphone.
How about Bregman last night? Bregman right. steps up, bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, two outs. Now, it was an inch away from a triple that would have cleared the bases and was a walk-off. Right. But Bregman was on Instagram earlier in the week. Remember being a goof on Instagram.
Yeah, just going through video.
About us torching, it was Eovaldi, I think it was, Nathan Eovaldi, who was going to be the starter. He eventually took it down, and he backpedaled a little bit.
Right.
But think about how good Boston must have felt last night. They won the game, which is the ultimate prize, but Bregman was the guy who triggered the 27th out for Houston. Bregman was the guy who was talking smack and was Mr. Cocky, Mr. Arrogant. Yeah. He's done that his whole life, his whole career. It's a young career, and he's a great player, great talent. But Benintendi makes one of the great catches and great plays you're ever going to see.
How about
and it's against Bregman.
Play you'll ever see? I mean, if that... That goes by him. It's game over.
It's over.
Yeah.
He is...
Yeah.
That is... It's a half inch between greatness and being a goat, you know, and being torched. Like, how could you have that type of a mentality? Why wouldn't you have played that conservatively? Why wouldn't you just hold up, make sure it's in front of you, give up a run, let Kimbrel get the next guy out? Like, it was pure instinct. He saw it off the bat, and he's like, I'm going for it. And quite frankly, the way Kimbrel was pitching, I think it was the right call. Because someone was going to get to him eventually anyway. The guy was a
catch.
Mess.
I don't know if it was last night or there's so many games going on, but Bellinger had a catch almost the same thing where he just slid, caught it, and it was like, man, if you don't get that.
Yeah, it was Bellinger yesterday, I think. Yeah, that was a great catch. Might have been two games ago. I'm with you. Everything just blends in now at this point. And baseball's taking a lot of heat because of the length of these games. And I'm on board with it. It's too much. Like last night was like a 4.5 hour, 9-inning game. You can't have that.
No.
Like you can't have it.
This is the world we live in, and I wouldn't be the one to talk about it because I'm 47 years old and I'll watch from start to finish anything that I put my mind to. But these kids nowadays, like talk to a 16-year-old fan of sports. Will they sit and watch for 4.5 hours, or will they be on their computer or their iPad tracking other things on Twitter? It's the age of, like, for example, a Leaf game, you can, if you're interested, you watch it. And you watch intermissions, you watch everything because it's a storyline. But, like, these kids nowadays, they want to be entertained the whole time, not 30 seconds between pitches and this guy
coming
out.
You turn the game on, Jamie.
You start, your mind goes somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. The game's on at 8:30, I think, last night, and I had to go to bed at 1:30, and it wasn't over yet.
Yeah. No, it started later than that. I think it was 9:07 first pitch last night.
But it was supposed to be 8:30. Well, whatever it is.
But it was because the Dodger game, right? Like all these games, which I understand, the intensity of it, every pitch matters, every out matters, of course. And if you're in Boston or in Houston, you don't care. You would have stayed up till 4 in the morning. You've been invested all year. It's your teams. But in these type of moments, we're talking the Final Four. It's the AL and NLCS.
Right.
There are a lot of Fairweather fans who are like, I want to get involved in this. But how do you commit 4.5 hours? And it's all about primetime. We want to leak into primetime. The problem is when you concern yourself with the beginning of the game being in primetime, it becomes irrelevant if people aren't going to invest in the end of the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, who's going to... It's like going to a movie where you're like, this is a 3.5 hour movie. I'm only going to stick around for an hour. No one's going to do that. No normal people.
Yeah,
I know you do that.
I'm the only dope who does it. I do that because I have to come to work.
Right.
But other than that, I would be there in the
movie. But normal people aren't going to be like, you know what? I can watch the first hour, but then I have to leave. You're just going to say, I'm not going to the movie theater.
Yeah, you'd rather just... But that's... the information age, we all track things on Twitter. Like, it's... I just feel that baseball has to do something to make that product where you want to watch it right from start to finish and speed up the game. I don't know what you can do. You can ask the pitchers to be quicker. It seems like the pace of that game will always be like that.
There's no clock.
Right.
You know, and that's the beauty of the game, but that's also the beast in a way.
But football, you talk about live play. I think this was a breakdown by an analytics company or something saying, like, there's actually in football only about 2.5 minutes of actual live play. You know, every play lasts, 8 seconds?
It's quick, yes.
But then it's 40 seconds, and it's timeouts and stuff. But there's a lot of product that goes with that. the analysis breaking it down. A lot of times in baseball, they're breaking down stuff, but it's like, oh, that was a slider. This is, you know, this is what he's pitching right now. I think the color guys have to be brilliant baseball.
They have to be storytellers.
Because
they really do. There's a lot of, and there's no opportunity to be like, all right, we're at the half or we're at the intermission.
Right.
See you later for 20 minutes. Let the talking heads take over.
They go and they have to be on, and the good ones give you some nuggets of knowledge.
Well, the beauty of Vince Scully is he used to do it by himself.
Crazy.
A one-man booth. 4.5-hour games. Vin Scully.
No tarp on. There's that picture of him in the stands.
Well, that's Harry Carey.
Oh, sorry.
That was Harry Carey in Chicago.
That's right.
Harry Carey.
Harry Carey with no tarp on in the stands.
He would hear the Halloween theme song if the bar was closed by the time he got
through. There's still some people writing in on the Halloween songs.
Play it, Moles. Give us a little tune.
I've got one for you that I want to read off because I think it's really funny. He even writes in, I don't know if Hayes will let you guys bring this up again, but the Halloween music was definitely playing for LeBron when he was doing the phone interview, and the chair was acting up.
Yes. Wow. Two sound bites at the same time, Halloween and the chair. There are actually some great ones coming in. Speaking of, like, games going late, Pete Rose used to hear this when he was on the panel and it went to extra innings. And he knew he was getting sleepy.
He's just tired.
Thawing logs on the panel.
Antonio Cromartie would hear this whenever his wife would call him. Say, we may be in the midst of our 14th child.
We may have an issue going on.
Antonio Cromartie.
Awesome.
Anyway. All right. Steve Phillips will join us in about 15 minutes. We've got to get into that home run last night. I think it should have been a home run. They called it an out. Altuve, that would have been a two-run shot, would have drastically changed the game.
I do you think that dope, like the guy who like reached in, is he a dope?
I don't think it's a Bartman situation. I feel for the guy. His name is Troy Caldwell.
I know,
his
name's on Twitter.
Oh, like people, man. Like he's worried about being Bartmaned. Because it's different because there, the Cubs were defending. They were in the outfield. This is the
any donkey Astros, with six beers in the crowd would do the same thing.
Dude, anybody sober, the ball is in the crowd. Like, there's a safety element to it. You can't tell fans to let up. Because what if Mookie Betts goes last second, you know what, I can't get to it, and some guy takes one off the nose?
Yeah.
Like, if the ball is in the stands, you have the right to grab that if you're a fan. Now, that was an absolute butcher job by Major League Baseball.
Thing is, though, like, I kept thinking and watching that, I'm like, this guy isn't going to get Bartman. And I don't know who put it out on Twitter. Like, somebody just
it's such a gutless
move. It was
think
like
Mookie Betts was going to catch it. He, like, closed his glove before he
but
got
But he said
it.
That they put the hands pushed it close.
I think what? He would have caught it.
I think he
would have caught
it.
Mookie Betts is not human. Like, did you see that throw he made in the eighth?
Oh, my God, when he just got it against the wall and chucked it to second.
He's not
sick.
Human.
I think he catches that if there's no interference.
I agree. But that's against the point. If it's right. Into the stands, interference, I don't believe, should apply. And the rule that I read last night would suggest that I have it right. We'll see what Steve Phillips has to say.
Yeah.
Sid and the boys are in town. It's Leafs-Pens tonight. Pregame at 6:30. Puck drop at 7 right here on TSN 1050. We got to tee this game up. It's going to be a fun night. Ray's coming up just after 5 from Scotiabank. He's calling the game on TSN 4. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. So Maple Leaf game night tonight, the Pittsburgh Penguins in town. You can watch it on TSN 4, hear it right here on TSN 1050. Where do the Penguins rank for you now in terms of, like, if you were buying tickets and you could get one pair all year, where would the Pens be?
I think they kind of hover around the top five.
Yeah, I would say just a little bit north of that. 6-7, you know, in that range.
Oh, really? You'd have five teams you'd rather see?
Just depends.
That?
I mean, off the top of my head, usually Canadian teams do it for me because of the rivalry and stuff. And then, you know, McDavid's going to be one because it's a ticket you want to see, right?
McDavid's number one.
But Sid and Gino used to do that. The team, see, this is the thing. I still believe Pittsburgh has an opportunity to be one of the big boys. It's just now they're starting to take a look at some inconsistency and some injuries. Like Justin Schultz, I think it's a big loss for them. He's a guy who moves the puck. He plays on the power play. I know Letang's healthy, so that's one thing that they've got going for them. But Schultz is one of those sneaky guys that I think makes their team better from the back end. You know, they still got Phil. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Uncle Phil coming in. Like you said the other day, you guys didn't even say Dion's name once on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Phil's a dangerous player.
Oh, yeah.
Very dangerous.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, they were talking about it at the morning skate, the idea of poking the bear. Crosby hasn't scored yet.
Yeah.
I'm not too concerned about him. I think it's just a matter of time. But Kadri hasn't either.
Yeah.
And there's some history between these two guys. They hate each other.
Did you see?
I would pit them against each other. I don't care if you wake up, Sid. I think Kadri's due for a breakout. I liked his game a lot against Saturday. The Kings. I thought he looked really good against L.A.
I have video evidence that might prove
otherwise. You don't like his game.
5-on-5, it was... There might have been some good plays in the power play where he got a hit in the corner and you're like, yeah, he's on his game. I had to go through his shifts today and it's got to do more 5-on-5. And Connor Brown does too.
I think, but here's the thing, and I've been kind of banging this drum a little bit, is I think he's the only guy who could be miserable in that room. Because he's done nothing wrong in the last 2 years, as far as his play. 30 goals back-to-back, played against all the big boys, been an agitator, you know, crossed the line a couple times, but for the most part, like, he's been a very, very good, effective player.
Yeah, and it's a weird position to be in when you're on that third line, because it's almost like the coach is like, Matthews is sitting there and Tavares is sitting there, and he's like, all right, going. You guys go out there.
And they're going. Matthews and Tavares have 16 goals between the two of them.
Yeah, you have to play.
You got to throw them out the door. Like, that's just good coaching.
Well,
and I just feel bad for Nas.
Yeah,
ultimately.
I think this is why tonight I would try to get him out there against Crosby. I would try to poke the bear and be like, go. Like,
yeah, go
come
see
alive.
What you can do. Yeah,
come. You know, and
take a game. Take control.
Of the absolutely. Game. And the thing is, because they're 6-1 and because Matthews is putting up the numbers that he is, it hasn't become a story, his ice time. But I looked it up yesterday, I think it was. He's still like 34th in forwards ice time.
He's not
way down the list.
Oh, you mean Austin?
Austin Matthews,
yeah.
I'm saying. Like, he's not top 10 in the league in minutes played in terms of forwards. He's way down the list.
Well, I thought you were talking Nazem, because Nazem's minutes haven't changed, really. They're just the quality of them have.
Right. I'm saying Matthews.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it all summer and all September. Yeah, this guy, you got to get him in there.
Yeah.
Like, Florida, Trocheck and Barkov played 50 minutes of the game combined. It's ridiculous. They are leading the league in terms of forwards ice time. McDavid's getting a million minutes.
Yeah.
Kopitar. Matthews is still somewhere in the mid-30s. So if they were 3-3 or 3-4, it would be a much bigger story. We'll get into that more with Ray just after 5. Ray's calling the game on TSN 4 tonight. Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst, in 2 minutes. All right, Ray's coming up just after 5 o'clock. Brian Windhorst will join us of ESPN in the 6 p.m. hour. The Raptors are off and running, getting past Cleveland last night. They've got the Celtics in town tomorrow. Brad Stevens, Nick Nurse, sharing compliments. It's either the Raptors are the greatest team in the world, courtesy of Brad Stevens, or the Celtics are the best team in the world, courtesy of Nick Nurse. Everyone's complimenting everybody else. Very cordial.
The love-in.
It's a love-in right now. It'll be a love-in tomorrow night at the Scotiabank Arena. So Houston is in trouble. They're down 3-1. Game 5 tonight in Houston. Justin Verlander on the mound. David Price is going out for Boston. Here's our baseball analyst, Steve Phillips. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well, guys. I think you guys are the best. You guys are the greatest.
Thank you,
Steve.
You're the best. Well, you are. It's actually
you,
buddy.
You are. Yeah,
you're
right.
You're the best. Don't ever forget that, man.
I appreciate
that, guys. Don't ever forget that. All right, before we get to Game 5, let's look back on last night, and we'll just lay it on the line for you. Did Joe West cost Houston that win last night?
Well, I think I could understand why Joe West made the call that he did. I think he got it wrong. But I think in the spur of the moment, from where he was standing, I can understand how he might think that there was interference. The problem wasn't Joe West. The problem's the guys back in Chelsea in New York who are doing the replay review. They blew it. They got it wrong. You can't tell me that you watch that video and you don't think that Mookie Betts' glove is beyond the wall. The fans weren't reaching onto the field. No, it's not about, yes, Mookie Betts could have made the catch if there were no fans in the stadium. He probably could have made the catch. But that's not the threshold that has to be met to decide whether or not there's fan interference. If the ball leaves the field of play, it's open game. The fans can go for the baseball. They can knock his glove. They can do whatever they want. And that's what happened in that moment. He wasn't still in the field of play. I don't know what was inconclusive from their looking at the video, because what they did is they let the call on the field stand, which meant they didn't have enough conclusive evidence to overrule Joe West's call. So I can understand Joe West in the moment making that call. I don't understand, you know, four guys sitting around a video watching that thinking that it was not a home run.
Well, I understand the basic rules of replay. It applies in every sport. Whatever the original call was, you have to have enough evidence to overturn it. The problem is Joe West isn't close to the call. Like, so what his original call was to me was completely irrelevant. Like, it should not have mattered. They should, in those circumstances, you should go to New York or wherever it is, and they have, it becomes basically a blank canvas. And let's just look at it. Forget what Joe West originally called. Because how's he supposed to know? How's he supposed to see the angle from where he was standing?
I completely agree. This idea that the call on the field matters is ridiculous. Like, the umpires in the moment, it's a tough job. And what we've seen, can you imagine how different history would be if we actually got the calls right?
Right.
Like, who knows who would have won championships and playoffs and everything else? They get so many calls wrong because it's a really hard thing to do. But I completely agree. What Joe West called in that moment, spur of the moment, ball going to the wall, you know, at 100 miles per hour exit velocity, getting to that barrier and trying to make a judgment, he made his best guess as to what happened on the play. But the guys back in New York who are looking at the video, why would Joe West call matter at all? They actually have the best chance to evaluate whatever they think. If they think it was 51% a home run, then it should be a home run. It shouldn't be some level of standard that, well, we don't have enough conclusive evidence. If you can look at it and say it's 51% a home run, then it should be a home run. And I don't think there's any way that you couldn't think that by looking at the video, but that is the standard that they use right now. And unfortunately for the Astros, they lost a 2-run home run.
With Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 baseball analyst.
How much stones does it take to make that catch that Ben Attendee made in the outfield to close out that game,
wow,
Steve? I mean, that goes
gutsy,
by you,
man. You're right. Right on. I mean, it's they do the stat cast where they think, okay, based upon the exit velocity, where it was hit, where guys normally play, 79% of the time, that's a hit, that ball. But in that moment, in that game, where the reality is it's a 2-run game at the time, bases loaded in 2 outs, and you know that if you dive and you don't make the play, that ball's going to get to the wall, the guy in first going to come around and score, and you're going to lose. There are a lot of guys who would have pulled up short. Play another hop, 1 run, maybe 2 score. It may tie the game, but he didn't do that. And that is why the Boston Red Sox have the best all-around outfield between Ben Attendee, Betts, and Jackie Bradley. And they were showing off last night.
Well, that throw by Betts was outrageous.
Incredible. That's what was a bummer for me, is that history was kind of, even though I guess it was determined in a way with the whole Joe West replay thing, it was kind of stripped and stolen from us, because if Betts made that catch and then threw out Kemp the way he did to start the eighth, we're talking about maybe the greatest defensive plays in the history of the ALCS.
Yeah, it's no doubt. And you know what? We start talking about that, like the Willie Mays over-the-shoulder catch,
right,
what he did. That was that effort to time it and to jump and almost make that catch in right field was absolutely unbelievable. And you're right, the arm strength. Now, there was a play earlier in the game, and Ben Attendee played one off the wall. And the guy ended up beating it out for a double. But he came up throwing two. All three of those guys can throw. They're all center field caliber defenders. And Jackie Bradley is just showing right now, he's figuring out how to hit. The other two guys are legitimate. Ben Attendee is going to be a 30-homer, 100-RBI guy, and he's going to hit, you know, 290 to 320. I mean, he reminds me a lot of Fred Lynn back in the day when he first broke in with the Boston Red Sox back then. And really just a solid all-around player, and Betts is a superstar.
Kimbrel got them the 6 outs, but, man, was it. It was not pretty. It was really tough sledding the whole way through the 8th and the 9th. And I had a flashback. That felt like Chapman in 16 with the Cubs to me. Only that was in the World Series. He ran out of gas. I don't know what they're going to do with Kimbrel. Like, they're going to need him again. I don't know if he can go tonight, but at some point in this series, if it gets extended beyond 5, and they're going to need him in the World Series, But I don't have much faith in Kimbrel. But what else can Cora do in that situation?
Yeah, he can't do much else. I mean, they're already compromised a little bit. And Kimbrel's never been a two-inning guy, but yet he went there yesterday to get it. And he was, listen, he was on his roller skates trying to survive that one. He's a little scary right now. He can't command his fastball. And therefore, everybody lays off the other stuff and tries to wait for a fastball, and he can't get it over the plate. So he's got some real problems. And I think part of it, I think, is the energy of the moment. I think he's getting hyper. I think he's got to take a deep breath. When something starts to go wrong, he gets more hyped up. In a moment where you're already as hyper as you're ever going to be, you got to slow it down a little bit. It looks like the game's going 1,000 miles per hour and his hair's on fire when he's out there. And so, yeah, I think that there's a vulnerability there, but they seem to be overcoming every vulnerability right now. I mean, David Price on the mound today, he warmed up twice in the game yesterday, and he's pitching on short rest as it is, but it may be just what he needs where there's no expectation. Like, what can I expect out of David Price? He's pitching on short rest, and they warmed him up twice yesterday. So I don't have a lot to expect. Maybe it will be the thing that takes the pressure off of him, but it sure feels like this is the Astros game to lose tonight.
Oh, for sure. Verlander against Price. I mean, if this game was in July, I'd be like, this would be a 1-0 game, and it'll be a pitcher's duel, but because it's not.
You know he's thinking, though, like, this is the game I want to win, where no one's got any expectations. I just got to go out there and do this to prove to everybody. But in saying that, he's probably done that 20 times in his mind.
No kidding.
Yeah, over and over again. And here's the thing. Go back and look at the after game two, the press conference of David Price doing interviews. He's got the saddest, most tired eyes I've ever seen. He looks so, like, he hadn't slept in weeks, he looks like. He must be playing Fortnite all night long because, I mean, he doesn't look like he's sleeping at all. He's got bags under his eyes. His coloring looks different. He just looks awful. Mm-hmm. And it seems like maybe the stress of everything is getting to him.
Well,
I thought the same thing looking at him. He looks like he's not well. Like, he doesn't.
Stress.
That's Boston for you, man. When those fans turn on you, like, at least this game isn't.
I don't think he's stressed every
tonight.
2 weeks when the checks come in.
But even when he played in Toronto, he looks like he's lost. He's not a big guy per se, but he looks like he's really thin. And
yeah, he doesn't look healthy. I agree. He looks you know, sort of frail.
Well, him and Chris Sale, man, pillars of health. Two big, lengthy left-handers that don't look that healthy, but they can chuck when they're on. So we'll see. Enjoy it tonight, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thanks,
buddy. Terrific, guys. Thanks for having me.
There's Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst. Dodgers won yesterday, too, as well. They go up 3-2 back to Milwaukee. Kershaw pitched really well. He needed that because he has been a playoff disaster throughout his career. But he pitched really well. But we'll see. Verlander going tonight. Kate Upton will be behind home plate, I'm assuming, like she was last night.
Complaining about the call?
Well, I agree with her. Like, I'm on board with that complaint. And you know she's biased. I mean, she's rooting for Houston. Verlander's her husband. But
it was a weird start for the. Did you see the Brewers started a guy and he threw.
He walked a guy and then they pulled him.
Like, we've seen enough of that.
Yeah. Like,
well,
I don't know.
They wanted to get the lineup for the Dodgers and then they're like, all right, we're going to switch it up. I never seen that before.
It's just too much. It's overthinking. Like, this is what I like about tonight. Now, Price notwithstanding, but Verlander. Like, Houston, what's killed them is their starters have been so spectacular all season, and they just haven't been going deep in these ballgames.
Yeah.
Like, Keuchel didn't go deep. Morton got rocked last night.
So, Verlander.
Verlander, I expect him to be a horse. Like, I think he goes Kevin Costner tonight. I wouldn't be shocked if he pitches 7 or 8 strong. Strong innings tonight. I'm on Houston. Let's see what happens. All right, Rays coming up just after 5. Leafs. Penguins down at Scotiabank. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Big night for sports tonight. The NFL, the NBA, MLB, and NHL all playing. And some big, big stars as well. We got Sidney Crosby in town tonight. Pens, Leafs down at Scotiabank. LeBron making his Lakers debut in Portland tonight. And that's a bummer. I was thinking about it earlier. Been so used to watching him at 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock. He's going to play a lot of 10:30 games.
Yeah, you're going to have to stay up to watch him.
That's going to be tough.
All right, I got something for you guys.
All right.
I was watching CP24 this morning, and I thought of us because there was a little bit of a story on flatulence genes coming out.
Really?
So basically, genes that don't stink when you let one go.
Is that right?
Yes. And they were doing a story on it.
Tell me, like, Gurdeep was testing them out.
No, he wasn't. But, like, I'm, like, watching this. And I had the volume down, so I, like, ran over. I was going to snap a photo of it and send it to you guys, but it's in the UK, And it's like carbon undershorts. And
how expensive? Did it give a price?
To check into the.
It's got to be crazy expensive. And what kind of dietary issues?
Test drive those for a week, and I'll tell you.
It's called the men's flatulence jeans.
Like MFJ.
100 pounds.
That's a lot of money.
So that's $100, $160.
It's a lot of money.
$165.
If you're single, you buy them for the first date only, and you put them away.
Yeah. Exactly. Once you're comfortable, anyway, who cares?
I'm going to order a pair.
Let it ride.
All right.
Ordering a pair.
Order a pair, and let's see what happens.
36 waist and a regular leg.
Okay.
I'm going to order a pair and get
100 pounds.
I just wonder if they're, like, super thick.
I'm over in Europe next week. I'm in London next week. Maybe I try to pick up a couple of pairs.
Are you going to catch the NFL game
40 there? 30s.
No, I'm going over for a wedding.
I know, but isn't the Eagles playing there?
I haven't even looked into it.
They're playing there next Wednesday. Out of curiosity. Next Thursday. In London, England, because I just was talking to Aubrey.
Is this her side or your side?
Her side.
Of course it is, because you know what would happen if it was your side? I'm not going over there for that.
I believe the Eagles are playing in London.
Dude, automatic. You wouldn't be going. I'm not going over there for that.
That's not true.
No, it's true.
No, my wife loves to travel. It's not true. I'm telling you. Oh, you're right. It's Eagles Jacksonville.
Yeah. Like next weekend.
Yeah. At Wembley.
You're going to be there. You should go.
We're flying back on the Sunday.
So but what? Aren't they there the Saturday? I thought they were there the Saturday.
No, it's a Sunday game. Sunday.
Are you sure? I thought it was.
I'm looking at it right now. It's Philly Jacksonville. Wembley
Stadium.
If
that was your buddy that was getting married, telling
you,
the wife would always say, we're not going there for that.
Well, maybe, but I'm looking forward to it. I've been to London once. I loved it. I'm going to try to find these pants.
They're called Shreddies. Flatulence filtering underwear and jeans.
Shreddies.
We're going to have to order a pair.
We can look into that.
I'll shred a pair of Shreddies.
You see the video of that guy in Dallas who stole the 5 cases of beers and ran out of the...
No.
You haven't seen this?
No, missed that.
People were tweeting Marcellus Wiley saying, dude, how much beer do you need? They thought it was him.
It looked a little bit like him. It looked a little bit like Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp was taking a lot of heat. This guy had 5 cases... And was running out of the store. And there's a security footage...
Of Bud Light, by the way.
Was it Bud Light?
Yeah, it's like... Do you need to rob a store for Bud Light?
120 beers this guy had and was running.
Yeah.
Like he is.
Did they catch him, obviously?
Eventually they're going to, but you got to think the cops are like, listen, I hope we could find the guy, but we're not going to waste time here. We got murders we're trying to figure out. It's 5 cases of beer.
Where was it where the guys dressed in road hockey gear went into that liquor store? Wasn't that in Alberta?
Yeah.
The goalie climbs through. He's got his stick still.
Yes.
And goalie gear on. They broke into the liquor store.
I think I do remember that.
I think that had to have been Alberta.
I just assume. Yes. That's the Florida of Canada is Alberta.
It is.
I just assume everything was out of Alberta.
Yeah.
All right. Ray's coming up to kick off the 5 p.m. hour. He's down at Scotiabank. It's Leafs Pens tonight. We'll tee that game up with him. Freddie Anderson playing. Matt Murray playing. We'll let you hear what Babcock had to say about Crosby and all this chatter about who is the best player in the world. We'll get to that. Brian Windhorst on the Raptors win last night and LeBron's debut tonight coming up as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.